What's going on, y'all? 97.5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Tuesday night, following Beers with Bob and Andrew Souchunas. Bob Cooney and Andrew Souchunas. Always great to see them on Tuesdays, 6 to 7. So make sure you guys are always checking in at that time. And then we follow. So it's always a fun, as we say, lead-in for the rest of the evening. We go until 10, running with you for these 3 hours, and we have plenty to talk about, from the birds and so many other things. And we'll get to our side topic as well in the later in the hour, like we always try to do, to have a little bit of fun as we break up things. And again, how often do we shift quickly from the Sunday night game to the very next game? Well, that happens when you have a game 4 days later on Thursday night. So we're starting to, again, transition very quickly from the Philadelphia-Baltimore game this past weekend, 30-28. They lose, fall 1-4-1. Here on the season, getting ready for the New York Giants, who are 1-5 in the division, coming here to Philadelphia, to Lincoln Financial Field, Thursday night football. So that'll be a blast. But as we start things off, I really wanted to start with one of our colleagues in Tim McManus. And Tim put out a story on ESPN.com. And you hear Tim every week here on the show, on the Fanatic. Then you also hear Tim as well on the pregame show with Brian Westbrook, Derek Gunn, and myself on the game days. And we'll hear from Tim, of course, this Thursday night. But he had an interesting story, I thought, Tim did, on ESPN.com, where he's talking about, of course, the 1-4-1 Philadelphia Eagles. And right now, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Eagles have a 41% chance of making the playoffs. As Tim says here in the story, quickly, that's the benefit of playing in the worst division in football, the NFC East, which has a collective winning percentage of 246. The Eagles, of course, can change that by winning on Thursday night against the New York Giants, who are 1-5. That game is Thursday at 8:20. That's the kickoff. He follows up with, the bad news is the Eagles are projected to win only 6 total games this season, are an injury train wreck once again, and have a slightly better chance of securing a top 10 draft pick at 42% than they do of making the postseason. So the question is not, which, you know, we've talked about and we heard some of the shows speaking about this on the station today. The question for us tonight is not about, do you want them to make the postseason or not? That's not the question. The question is, with the trade deadline now on November 3rd, there have already been rumblings about Howie Roseman potentially already, you know, testing the waters, sniffing out there to see what he can acquire to add to the cupboard of the Philadelphia Eagles in pursuit of their fourth straight playoff appearance. And I'm already, as much as I want them to make the playoffs, we mentioned this last night because we had a call that joined us last night and said, listen, it's not going to matter what you do with Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts at this point. See what Jalen Hurts has. See if he can play or not in this league. And whatever Carson Wentz does, what is Jalen Hurts going to do that's really going to change your mind when it comes to certain things? So just let the chips fall where they may. See what Jalen Hurts is. And at the very end, he really hopes that they don't make the playoffs because you want that top draft pick. So I want them to make the playoffs. Let's make that very clear. If you have a chance to get to the postseason, I am all in on the postseason. So I am in there. That's where I want them to be. You never know what can happen when you get there. Anything can happen once you win that first game. You're going to have that first game here at Lincoln Financial Field. So if that's the case, right, get in there. You saw what happened with Seattle when they were in the 7-9 team and they beat the Saints that season. You can win. You move on. Marshawn Lynch went crazy in that game, so you never know what happened. Secondly, I would like for Carson Wentz to have that playoff experience. We know about the game that he played in the postseason last season against the Seattle Seahawks, and that ended very quickly in the first quarter. So technically he was there, but he really wasn't there to give himself that opportunity to have that playoff experience, to get that playoff win under his belt. And maybe, just maybe, that could carry them into the second round. But most importantly with this entire thing is, as I just mentioned, in Tim's story, already out there seeing if there are possible players that they can acquire to improve this team this season as they try to make the playoffs, right? As they try to make the playoffs as is. As depleted as they are. As depleted as they are. Again, I want them to make the playoffs, but I do not want them to make a trade. I would like for them to hold on to their draft picks. They need to get younger overall. One of the issues that we've been talking about in general with this team is the fact that they don't have enough depth at any position outside of defensive line and some with the offensive line. But it hurts when, of course, every starter is banged up there, where you don't expect all four starters outside of Jason Kelce to miss games. And therefore, your depth is certainly depleted because you're dipping way deeper into your pool of offensive linemen to make sure you can hold up each week. So as I read Tim's story and look at the possibilities of players possibly available via trade, you are 1-4-1. And while you can make the playoffs, you need so much help in so many different areas of your roster that by no means do I want them to trade any draft picks for anyone. Yes, they need help at the cornerback position. I agree. Right now, they might need help at the running back position as well. They need help on the offensive line. I get it. But there are also available free agents out there. I heard Adam Kaplan and Jeff Mosher talking about this. Donald Penn is available. He's still out there, right? There are available people out there. I do want them to make the playoffs, but I don't want them to go out there and try to acquire players and give up valuable draft picks that you need to improve your depth overall and to get younger on this roster. When we look at this thing, the trade acquisitions that you could potentially bring in here are, hopefully, tell me if I'm crazy, DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, Alshon Jeffrey, Lane Johnson when he's healthy, Dallas Goedert when he's healthy, Zach Ertz when he's healthy, Jason Peters when he's healthy. These are the people that I am looking at as the acquisitions that we all thought were good enough as a team to win to win X amount of games to at least be the wild card team, the seventh playoff team, the extra wild card team to get into the postseason in the NFC and let the chips fall where they may once they got in there. So who are you going to go out there unless, like, even with the secondary, and we're talking about Avante Maddox coming back, and he's, you know, I don't love Avante Maddox as a starting outside corner. I like him mostly in the slot. That's where I think he's most valuable. But is he better than Jalen Mills is right now on the outside? He sure is. And that's nothing against Jalen Mills. That's just, he's just not that good on the outside. If he's the safety, he's the safety. I don't want him starting as my outside corner. Then you have a mixture of Mills, who you can keep him on the back end. Then you also have Will Parks, who is going to play in that box. Is that Malcolm Jenkins person, right, that who's going to be able to play in that box, help out with the tight end coverage, help out with the run game, where he's in there sticking his nose in there and helping be that extra linebacker with the linebackers that you don't have. And no, I don't want to trade for a linebacker either. That's where they are going to get their reinforcements from, not giving up draft picks that you need for 2021 NFL draft, right? That's where I am. They currently have 7 picks in the draft right now. Okay, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at Jimmy Kemsky's story from April, where the Eagles have 7 picks in the 2020 NFL draft. And I'll check to see if they moved any more later on in the draft or traded, whatever. I'll look and see. But right now they have 1 in round 1, 2, 3, 2 in round 5, 1 from the Cowboys, and 1 in 6, 1 in 7 right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. But I do not want them to give up any of these draft picks right now at this very moment for this current season. I do not want them making a trade. And that is something, again, that is out there that Howie Roseman is already contemplating with this team because of the possibility of them winning this division, because it is so bad, and because he sees that they need help. Howie, steer clear, man. Stay focused on what you need to do right now. If you need to go out there and you need to find someone on the waiver wire or some free agent that's available, then by all means, go ahead and knock yourself out. You found Travis Fulgham, fantastic. Jamon Brown, not so much. But that's the only way. And with the people who are returning from injury that are not on the IR where they're going to be done for the rest of this season, I don't want them making any trades whatsoever with this football team. They have 7 draft picks. They do not have a lot. They have, as Tim points out in this story right now, they are projected to be $69 million over the salary cap in 2021. And that is the second highest total behind the New Orleans Saints, sitting at $81 million. They're going to need to shed some salary with some veterans. Again, looking at Tim's story, Alshon Jeffrey at $18.4 million, DeSean Jackson, $11 million. And they're going to have to spend some money possibly at other spots, like maybe wide receiver if you lose those two, to make sure that you have enough, again, as we say, the depth in general for this football team. You already look at Fulgham. Hightower, I still want to see what he can do. Jalen Reagor, you know they're going to keep J.J. Arcega-Whiteside around for at least one more year because Howie's not going to want to admit to that mistake. So you're going to need to have extra draft picks. You're going to need those draft picks to also go out there and draft some extra offensive linemen because guys are getting older. If Andre Dillard is not going to work out and Jordan Mailata is going to be your left tackle of the future, then guess what? You're going to need some more people along that line. They've probably now figured out that Matt Pryor is not what they thought before. Not look very good at all. Right? So you're going to need some help there. Jason Kelce, he's getting older. He's always talking about retiring. Does he leave? Does Jason Peters finally retire, who is currently a part of your depth? Does he now retire as well? You're going to need depth. You're going to need some extra secondary help because your cornerback position is simply not good enough outside of Darius Slay. You're going to need some more safety help because Rodney McLeod has 1 year remaining on his 2-year deal that he signed. Kevon Wallace, fantastic. And Will Parks, sure. Jalen Mills, 1-year deal. They are going to need to shore up their roster. They need every possible draft pick that they can use. And who is going to be out there that's really going to change the fortunes of this season right now that will be available for the Philadelphia Eagles that is worth that draft pick, and then is going to be here long term with this team? If you are going to get that type of player, then they're going to ask for whatever team it is, big time compensation in return for player X that you get back via that trade. So I thought this was a good story from Tim McManus. It was very interesting because we talk about very often the fact that you want them to make the playoffs or not. What do you want them to do? That means the draft pick is going to drop down to the teams because you win the division. Instead of sticking at your 6 wins, you're probably going to be somewhere around what? 8, 9, 10, depending on what the rest of the NFL looks like with their win total as well. So if that is the case, all right, we already know about that. Now it's about, okay, trade deadline is November 3rd. All we talk about around trade deadline in any sport, hot stove with baseball, the same deal with the NBA in February. Here we have in the NFL where trades are not that big, but they do have a trade deadline, and we've seen them have success in trading for Ronald Darby, Jay Ajayi, when things worked out for you during that season when they won the Super Bowl. This is not a Super Bowl contender. This is barely a playoff team. I do not want them to make any trades to make this team better this season. Your trades of any player that you bring in are going to come in the form of all of the injured players that are set to return this season, and hope that with this division being so terrible, looking at the Dallas Cowboys last night, and we'll get to that shortly in the program here, there is no need for you to do that. If you feel that your players returning make you that much better, then you stand pat. You try to win these next three games that you have against terrible football teams in your division. You take that lead on them in a division with these division wins, and you get these other players back after the bye week, maybe even before the bye, but certainly after the bye, where you have a still tough schedule: Cleveland, New Orleans, Green Bay, Arizona, on and on and on with what the schedule presents. Green Bay, all these teams that are still very good. You need to beat those teams with the people that you bring back from the injured list. That is where you acquire the players, not via trade. Are you with me? Or are you okay? Do you want Howie Roseman to go out there and make trades to improve this team and make that push for the playoffs? Again, I'm with the push for the playoffs, but as is with the people who return from the injured list for your Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not giving up draft picks for anyone else out there right now. Not happening. 610-632-0975. Are you with me or are you against me where you say, no, Howie, go out there and acquire a cornerback. Go get a linebacker. Go get an extra offensive lineman to help out this team because you have to keep Carson Wentz upright. Now, mind you, I want Carson Wentz to play all 16. I want to see him in the playoffs. I want him to get a playoff win. And who knows, maybe go on some run that they get to the NFC Championship in fall. And we say, you know what? That was a pretty good season based on what they did. All right, Travis Fulgham can play. Jordan Mailata is your left tackle. Lane Johnson still has it. Maybe Brandon Brooks, who is this workout wonder, this rehab wonder, he comes back. You're still good there. Now you're looking at a situation where you're saying, you know what? Miles Sanders can hold up. He is fine. Jalen Reagor makes a big impact when he returns. Dallas Goedert proves to be the best tight end on this team. You have something to look forward to after making a push to the playoffs with the team as is, but I'm not. No. I do not care what name starts to pop up. I do not want to, at this stage of the season, knowing that what this team is, if this is who they are, I don't want to give up those draft picks. If they did it in the offseason where we were talking about DeAndre Hopkins, who went to Arizona, and they gave up only David Johnson and another pick, I think a fourth rounder. If you're talking about that, then sure. Absolutely. Right now, though, no. DeAndre Hopkins would have made a difference right now. Right now. I cannot think of anyone right now. And listen, I'm not a GM. I'm not an insider in the NFL to know who's going to be available. But as it stands right now, on its face, I don't want to do that for the Philadelphia Eagles. DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs in the offseason. Certainly, let's have that conversation. Right now, it's going to be too expensive. All of these general managers, they know exactly what you need. So they are going to pump up that price for player X that you would be talking to that team about and acquiring for your Philadelphia Eagles. So would you want them to make a trade in order for them to make a push for the playoffs? Or do you stand pat, get the reinforcements back of the long list, the double-digit number list of injured players that will return that will certainly make this team better and make the playoffs that way? Make the playoffs as is, or Howie Roseman go out there and acquire a player via the trade market, trade deadline, November 3rd. 610-632-0975. Big game, of course, starting on Thursday against the New York Giants. Handle your business. You're good enough right now to beat them, just like they are good enough to beat you. Right now, that's where you are. But that's exactly who you are right now. You will be better with the players that do return from injury. But I, under no circumstances do I look at this team and say, hey, let me give up a number two to go out there and get this player. I'm not doing it right now. I'm not doing it right now. Keep your picks. Keep your seven picks, and let's move on, and we'll see where things shake out later on. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Guys that are already on hold, we'll get to you when we return to give you all of your time to see where you are with this team. They're 1-4-1. They are not a good football team. They will get better when the players return from the injured list, but I'm not giving up draft picks for anyone out there right now. Where do you stand? 610-632-0975. Want to hear from you on this topic. We'll get to so many other things throughout the show with baseball, with the Eagles and the Cowboys in this division. They lose last night and much, much more. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to you guys when we return right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here tonight. And we have Tyler Zuli producing the show. So we're going to run with you for these 3 hours now, 2.5 hours. Already knocked down half of those 30 minutes. And we're going to talk to you all, 610-632-0975. But wanted to start there. Great story from Tim on ESPN.com. If you hadn't had a chance to read it, go check it out. And maybe that'll also give you another perspective. You call in after you read Tim's story on ESPN.com. And it's good work. And it makes sense. It makes sense. This team is not good. Team is not good. His final sentence here says, because if you manage to win a lousy division with a sub 500 record, but do so at the expense of 2020 and beyond, what have you really accomplished? Now, make the playoffs, but don't give up valuable assets now with your seven draft picks that you have in your cupboard for the 2021 draft just to win this lousy division that's probably only going to take a maximum of 7 wins to win the division. All right? All right, 610-632-0975 with you until 10 o'clock. Do you want the Eagles too as they push for the playoffs? That's already a whole nother story. But if you do, you want them to make a trade by November 3rd at the deadline in order to improve the team to make the playoffs? This is like a Golden Tate thing all over again. I do not want them to make a trade, but I do want them to make the playoffs. And to make it clear for people who are just tuning in saying, Devon, what are you talking about? I think the players that you are getting back from Jeffrey, Jackson, Rager, Peters, Johnson, now Ertz, Goddard, Sanders, all of these people, Avante Maddox, that are injured, they are going to be your acquisitions. Stand pat. Win this division. Get to the playoffs. Keep your draft picks. All right, Don, before we start with you, we have some polls up on 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. Tyler's going to let us know what they are, how you can go vote. And we'll get to the phone calls in just a second. Tyler, good evening. What's going on?
Devon, how are you, my friend?
Good, man.
Good. So we have two polls today. And the first one, and I'm going to preface this first one because we've gotten a couple of comments on it already saying, you know, why not both? Both is not an option because you can't do both. And I'll explain what that means in just a second. Okay. You'll understand what that all means. Right. The first question is, do you want the Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC East or get a top 10 draft pick? You can't do both. You win the NFC East, the worst or the best pick that you can have is 18 as a division winner.
Right.
So you cannot do both. So those are your options, either win the NFC East or get a top 10 pick in the 2021 draft. The second one is a fill in the blank Twitter poll. The question is, the blank have a better future team outlook? Is it the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys? Those are your two polls tonight.
Okay. All right. You already know where I stand. I do not want them to make any trades. You will get those people with your own players that are big-time players, you think, here on your roster when they return from injury. And to the second question of the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, who have the better outlook now going forward with their rosters? Man, that's tough. I guess, I don't know. I'm not voting yet. I'm not voting yet. You guys can vote. 97.5 The Fanatic, two Twitter polls. We'll give you the results as we go along, and we'll give you the final results in the 9 o'clock hour in that final segment of the show. We'll get Tyler's thoughts as well. 610-632-0975. Let's start in Chester. Donald tips things off for us here on this Tuesday night. What's up, Don?
I'm chilling. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. But there are already those whispers that Howie wants to make some moves potentially to improve this team. I'm not with him.
He's crazy. He's crazy, and he is. He got lucky in 17, you know, and he needs to move on from that because I'm with you, you know. I just rather for us to get all these players back, and if we make the playoffs, that's fine because we'll still have all our picks, you know. So we got it. There's a chance. Maybe Schwartz will find some good corners and. Maybe we'll find a bruising back to compliment Sanders, you know, and whatnot. And we find some other pieces that we need. But the only way I could see a trade going on, it has to be somebody in their early 20s. Somebody that we're going to always have here that's going to be productive. Besides that, no. I'd just rather for us to keep all our picks and because we will be a better team once Rager gets back and Deshaun is healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and whatnot. So, Avonte Maddox will be an upgrade from what's on the outside. So he'll, you know, provide some type of stability on the other side of Slay. So, you know, for now, but I don't know.
And that's what you're talking about. We're talking about for now. We've already had six games in the books. There are 10 games left. You can win this division with a very, very low number, Don. Yeah. Very low number. And to your point real quick of the Avonte Maddox part, he comes back. All right, you have now Will Parks and Jalen Mills to play that safety position you have that, you know, that little bit of cushion, that help in that secondary where things might work out in your favor for these 10 games and the postseason. Yeah. So yeah, that's we just, I'm good one. I'm right. good on that.
Yeah, we. This is my last point. Yeah, we just need to stick with the draft picks and you know, just let it be what it is, and hopefully, you know, it'll definitely work out. But it's been a couple years. Last year was the first time in a couple years where we had multiple draft picks, you know, so we definitely need them. You know, so I'd just stick with what it is that we have because it needs to be, you know, retooled anyway.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be retooled.
Our running back situation.
Listen, man,
I'm gonna leave you with this. I do not believe that Sanders can carry the ball 20 to 25 times.
Well, I never wanted him to carry, Don. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you starting this off. 610-632-0975. I never wanted him to carry the ball 20, 25 times, Don. But I did want him to have 20, 25 touches. However they mix it up, because we know what the passing game is, he is a threat out of the backfield. The problem is, when you talk about the 20, 25 carries, forget that. He's already now had multiple injuries in two seasons with this football team that will have you kind of taking a step back and with a little bit of caution there. Right? I don't get a lot of things right. I get my fair share of things wrong. I get my fair share of things right when we talk about evaluating players, evaluating the teams and what they're going to do success-wise and how they're going to play out overall. But one thing that we talked about before the season started with Tyler Zuli and I, the theme of the show one night was, I do not feel comfortable with the running back rotation as is right now with Sanders, Scott, and Clement. I just did not. With Sanders being injured, and he was already injured during training camp when we were talking about this, Scott having the four games that we saw, which were very good, but not to if Miles Sanders went down, like we would now see him potentially for two games, we know for sure, Thursday night, where he's the lead guy. I don't see it. I don't see it. Nothing against Boston Scott. I like him in his role as the second or third guy, the third down running back, where he's running out of the backfield. You mix it up every now and then when you give him the rock and let him, you know, hit the ground running quickly with a run. You let him do that. You let him carry the ball a couple of times, but I do not trust Boston Scott as my feature back if Miles Sanders is out for multiple games. That's why we were talking about Carlos Hyde and Devontae Freeman. That's why when Joe Torti and I were here with Tyler Zuli, we were doing the draft show and we were looking at the second round and J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers were available and we're like, yeah, yeah. You need to add to that running back depth. There's nothing wrong with having two running backs, especially for Joe Torti, where he doesn't want to pay any running backs on that first contract. So he was all in on that one. And guess what? He was right. Saquon Barkley already injured. Todd Gurley, we know, even though he's having a little bit of a bounce back there in Atlanta. You understand what I'm saying. I wanted another back, whether it was a veteran or, in that case, the draft, one of those players that we just said. They need to be better. They need more depth in a lot of different places. And winning this division will be fine for the season. It will be something for us to look forward to, an extra playoff game. Who doesn't want that? But not at the expense of an extra draft pick where later on you're going to need that. You're going to get rid of Jeffrey Jackson at the end of the season. Jason Peters will be gone. You need linebackers. Davion Taylor, we don't even know who he is. Until we know who he is, you're going to need something. You're going to need something. You're going to need a lot going forward. 610-632-0975. Mike and King of Prussia next on The Fanatic. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, Devon, how are you doing?
I'm all right, man. What you thinking?
Oh, you know me as a ray of sunshine.
I know. And I'm really speaking right here in your ballpark, kind of.
Yeah, so I agree with you. Well, first let me say, I don't see the point of making the playoffs. Not even with this team, because limping into the playoffs, because that's what we'll do. We'll limp into the playoffs, and then we'll get waxed by a legit playoff team. I don't need to see that. I've seen that. I saw it last year. I've seen it many times before with the Eagles. I don't need to see it again. You know what it does? You know what it did? It cost us doing that last year. It cost us CeeDee Lamb. So I don't need to see it again.
True.
And it also makes, if you get into the playoffs, you get a harder schedule. So what does that do for the future of this team? It does nothing. And when people tell me, oh, but what about momentum? I don't care. But what about Carson getting playoff reps? I don't care.
I do care about that.
It's a football game. If he doesn't know how to play it by now, he doesn't know how to play.
But you know it's a different thing there. You know that.
So then I want someone to tie Howie to a chair, take all the phones out of his office, put him in the basement. I don't want him anywhere near these draft picks. We don't even have a fourth round pick next year. We have 2 5th round picks,
right,
and 7 picks in total. And this team, you know what I would do? I would start selling off players if I could. I would get rid of Fletcher Cox because he's overrated and overpaid. I would get rid of players like right and left that have any kind of value and start trying to hack down our salary cap as much as we can, because this team is in a world of hurt. $60 million over the cap. There's no room for us to be screwing around with this albatross of a team that we have right now. It's just time to cut bait, start cutting players, and start trying to get ourselves right so that we actually have a future. And if you want Carson Wentz to be a part of this team in this future, then you need to start doing this and giving him some talent to work with before we waste all of his years.
Well, listen, I do want them to make the playoffs. We'll differ there, but we both have the same goal in mind here, is that they need to get younger and improve this football team. So, Mike, I'll agree with you there. Thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. I do, again, want Carson Wentz to have the opportunity again to play in the playoffs. And listen, it's not just a game. You know, they always talk about when it comes to any of these types of things, you always hear the playoff experience, getting your feet in there, getting your feet. The one thing that is constantly brought up with Carson Wentz is, like when we talked to Wade and Chester, right? Wade will say he has yet to play in a playoff game. He's taken snaps, but he hasn't finished it. Got into the first quarter, knocked out. We already know what happened. He needs that. Not for it to be all right, you guys can shut up about this part. No. Because now he knows what it's all about. Now he knows what it's all about. It's one thing to watch it when they win the Super Bowl. It's another thing to watch it after you get knocked out of a game, even though I think he had that concussion, so, you know, whatever. He needs that. Now, is it worth though that big gap in draft selections? Well, if they win 6 games and Dallas wins 7, then they make the playoffs because the record is better overall, then they are still going to have a decent draft pick, but not decent enough because it's not going to be a top 5 where most people will want them to be to get a top 5 level player in the NFL draft. I want them to make the playoffs, but I don't, as Mike just said, keep Howie away from the phones unless it's a free agent and his agent reaching out to Howie and speaking to him about a diamond in the rough like Travis Fulgham. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on this Tuesday night. The Birds, trade deadline November 3rd. They have a weird, weird, weird situation going on right now where this division stinks. They can win the division and make the playoffs. I want them to make the playoffs. Mike does not want them to make the playoffs. Tyler wants them to make the playoffs. But we all agree we do not want them to make any moves. Reports are already out there that Howie has been hanging around the phones, speaking to other general managers around the NFL about potentially acquiring a player for the stretch run and winning this division. Do you want him to do that, or do you want him to stand pat, get the injured players back, and make your run as is and keep your 7 draft picks and build on your depth and hit on these young players next season in the 2021 draft? 610-632-0975. Little nice news that we'll get to you basketball-wise shortly to let you know. I like this little move. I was actually with this guy right before the pandemic. So this is some nice news that we'll share with you a little bit later in the show. Randall and West Oak Lane. Randall, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, trying to convince Howie to stay away from the phones.
Listen, man, I called you a couple days before the season started. I told you about these linebackers, man. I told you they were terrible.
Yep.
But to your point tonight, I agree and partially disagree with you. I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
Here's my first question. Do you trust Howie? Based off of his previous experience with draft picks, do you trust him to draft the right players?
No, I do not. Here's where I would say this, though, Randall, to your point. I would hope that ownership steps in and makes sure that Howie has the right people with him in that front office to do the draft next year with Andy Weidel still there, whatever staff that they have, the scouts, to make sure that they make the right selections.
Okay.
I don't know that that will happen, but that is my hope. If that does not happen, then no, I do not trust him.
Okay, my second point is the only trade I'm making, and hear me out on this one, because this could alleviate two problems. If the Atlanta Falcons decide, because I saw an article earlier on ESPN that they're thinking about moving on from Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. If they trade Matt Ryan before Julio Jones, why not package Jalen Hurts, maybe a second or third round pick to go get Julio Jones and that alleviates your wide receiver problem, because at the end of the year, I know Alshon's not going to be back. I don't think Deshaun's going to be back just because of the injuries he's
had
over the past
few
years. So you get Julio Jones back. Next year, you have Julio. You got Marquise Goodwin coming back. You got Rager, Fulgham, and Moore. Those are your five receivers. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he can go play on a practice squad or something, get some reps, and learn how to play football. But that's the only move that I would agree with. Because Julio Jones is still in his 20s, still in the prime of his career. To me, he's still top five receiver. He's just on a terrible team.
Well, that one would be interesting. Now, I wonder this, though, with the firing of Quinn, Raheem Morris coming in. I'm not going to say he's sitting here and say he's going to win 5-7 games in a row or anything like that. But does Arthur Blank decide to, especially when they've already, Randall, fired their general manager as well, keep everything as is right now, wait till the offseason to do those things, Matt Ryan included?
I think Arthur Blank, and I'm just thinking about what he's done in the past, that's definitely a possibility. But I think he thinks possibly maybe he can go get Trevor Lawrence, number one.
Yes.
If the Jets win a game.
Right.
I mean, that's all.
Right, no doubt. Right, yeah.
But, I mean, also, you think about this, too. Cleveland, if they decide, hey, OBJ says, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, why not bring in OBJ?
Right now or later?
Right now.
Yeah, but they're 4-1, 4-2 right now. If they pick up a win here, win there, they might see themselves with. What I think, Randall, with a lot of the teams right now, with that extra playoff spot now, with them changing things for the pandemic, I think a lot of teams are going to try to stand pat or add if they are a borderline playoff team to make sure that they do in fact make that playoffs.
Yeah, I definitely get that, but I see the Browns trending downwards, and honestly, and just looking at the scheme of things, I don't think the AFC North gets three teams in the playoffs. I think maybe you'll get two from the West, two from the North, and possibly two from the East, depending on whether the Patriots get their act together.
Yeah. Right, if they get their act together. Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Randall, great call, man. Great stuff, man. A lot to chew on that one. We'll talk soon again, and you were right, definitely, about the linebackers, for sure. 610-632-0975. That's the tricky thing, this extra playoff spot in the wild card in the NFL might change the thinking for a lot of teams going forward. So I'm curious to see how that all plays out with now the trade deadline November 3rd. A lot of decisions to be made by these general managers. And again, Dimitroff was fired as well, along with Dan Quinn in Atlanta. Are you going to let the interim GM make that decision for your football team going forward? Are you going to let your interim general manager make that decision? I'm not sure. All right, 610-632-0975. Do you want the Birds to make a move at the trade deadline, November 3rd, in order to improve this team, to make that push for the playoffs, or stand pat as is, get your reinforcements from your injured players, and make the playoffs that way? 610-632-0975, because I say, leave the draft picks alone. Leave them alone. Howie, leave them alone. Let's get ready for the scouting. Go out there, find a diamond in the rough on the free agent market. Talk to that agent. 610-632-0975. We'll get to Mark, Derek, Donald, Mike. Actually, two people just dropped off. If you want to check in, we got 25 minutes commercial free on the other side. Going until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Hey, 801-975, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. 610-632-0975. Taking your thoughts here tonight on if you want the Birds to make a move by the trade deadline, which is November 3rd, or stand pat. 1-4-1 football team, the opportunity to win the division. But is it the right thing to do right now with your team being so poor, where you still have an opportunity to win this division as is, and you're going to get players back? So, you know, stand pat. Stay still. Don't do anything, Howie Roseman. Don't do anything. Where do you guys stand? Should they make a move and acquire a player to make that push for the postseason? 610-632-0975. And the other question, based off our Twitter poll, is, did you guys see the Dallas Cowboys last night? I have to kind of take a step back and say I'm sorry to everyone, where I said last week after Dak Prescott went down that Andy Dalton is still pretty good. He can throw the football. They made a very smart move by going out there and acquiring him to back up Dak Prescott in the event that the contract things did not work out, or in the event that, hey, something like this injury takes place. And with the injury taking place, that Andy Dalton is your guy. And I was a guy who said, they'll be fine. They will be fine. Do not worry about them right now, because we're underestimating exactly what he can do out there on the football field. But guess what? They were awful last night. They got blasted last night against the Arizona Cardinals. It was terrible, right? 38-10. Andy Dalton, 54 pass attempts, 34 of 54, 266 yards in the score. And Ezekiel Elliott fumbled the ball twice. The whole complexion of the game was just, it was just gone. It was gone. They stink. We knew that already. But they keep giving the Philadelphia Eagles hope. They are now 2-4. The Birds are 1-4-1. They're only a half a game behind them. So again, the Birds can win the division. The second question to go along with our first question is, who's in better shape going forward? The Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys? 610-632-0975. So we'll put that one out there as well. And we'll give you the basketball news here also. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool thing with our local team here, local organization. And we'll let you know about that, see what you guys think about this news with the NBA and the Philadelphia 76ers and their organization. Let's go to Mark in Philly, who's been hanging on. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Devon? How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, man. Thank you.
I called last week, told you that we're going to put up a fight against the Ravens, and we did.
Yep, you were right.
I was at the game Sunday. It was a little impromptu. But yeah, I just want to say the Cowboys in misery is the funniest thing that I can think of right now. Literally, I don't care how bad we could go 0-16, as long as the Cowboys are a game ahead of us, I'll take it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Real quick, before you get to your point about the Birds, how was the experience being in the arena? I mean, in the stadium.
Everything was cashless. They really did. The NFL did a really good job with like doing everything. Everyone had to wear a mask. They were strict with that, and like you have to nowadays. Corona's nothing to mess around with.
Right.
I mean, it was cool that you could watch a game. No one was standing in front of you. Like you saw everything. Like it was great. The price was kind of high, but I mean, you're going to get that with the NFL.
Yeah, that's not going to change. As long as they know they can get it, they're going to get it.
Yeah, but I mean, I went there, screamed my head off. I had to take a day off yesterday because literally my voice is blown out.
Well, you did your part, Mark, for sure. Thanks, man.
I always do, man. No matter where I'm at, I'm always screaming for the Eagles.
No doubt, man. So what do you think about this team, man, and going forward? Number one, of course, with the Giants on Thursday, but also with the trade deadline November 3rd, do you want them to give up any picks to acquire anybody, or just stand pat and get your players back healthy and make that run as is?
Well, you know how an NFC East game is, man. It can always, you never know. The Giants could smack us in the mouth and shut us out. You never know.
Yeah.
But we could also go in, we could also just go in Thursday and just whoop them. But, I'm thinking a little 33-17 Eagles.
33-17, so you still think they're able to do. The Giants can put up some points now.
As long as Darius Slay is on Darius Slayton,
yes,
we're good.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Hey, Mark, great stuff, man. Thanks for sharing that information about the game and all, what the process was like. And hopefully you're able to go again on Thursday, man, and get that 33-17 victory. All right, Mark, we'll talk to you, man.
Take it easy, man.
You got it. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. And he said, hey, as long as the Cowboys are just as miserable as the Eagles, then that's all good with Mark. Let's go to Derek in the Northeast next on the Fanatic. Derek, what's up, man? Oh, Derek, you dropped. Call back, and we'll get you right back in there. Derek, call back. We'll go to Lansdowne. Quick pivot. Donald, our guy on the Fanatic. What's up, Don?
Yo, what's going on, man?
What's happening?
You know what? I don't think we need to panic about running back, but we need to panic at linebacker and defensive tackle and safety. You got Jerrigan's just got released. I mean, he knows our little playbook on defense. J.J. Jerrigan. He just got released today.
Tim Jernigan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. They don't really need any more defensive linemen help.
Malik Jackson got hurt.
Yeah,
so
he did.
What are we going to do, bring somebody up from the practice squad?
Well, I mean, you still have Hargrave, who you're waiting to pay dividends there. Hassan Ridgeway. Vinnie Curry just came back as well. So I think they have enough depth right there.
At defensive tackle.
Along the defensive line, yes, because they do shift, as you know, guys from the outside on the inside as well for their NASCAR package. So, yeah, I think they're okay.
Yeah, you're right.
But I wouldn't be upset at Tim Jernigan. I wouldn't be upset.
But you know what? You are right about that, because I just realized that you can actually put like four defensive ends out there.
Yeah, and Josh Sweat is playing well also.
They need to stop playing that 4-2.
That's what
you know what I mean?
Well, they played the wide nine.
That.
It's really the wide nine. It's just based on how they like to use them. We saw how it was effective also by incorporating, what's my man's name? The defensive end that they had standing up. Jannard Avery. Yeah, they had Avery standing up and playing in that like a quasi linebacker position.
I think they need to show a 3-4 with Avery on the outside. That way we don't have to worry about Nate Gary being on the field. And you got Singleton, and you got Bradley, and you got Taylor, the four linebackers.
Well, I like it as is. They just need to get extra push. The linebacker problem, Avery and those players that you're talking about standing up are not going to solve that issue. They need a linebacker. I just don't think that they're going to do that, Don, via trade or anything like that.
I think we're fine at running back, even though I wouldn't mind giving up maybe a 6th-round draft pick for Hassan Reddick.
You know what I was talking about? Tyler Zuli was talking about that with Hassan Reddick, knowing what's going on right now out there in Arizona, Don. Thanks for the call. And Ty, since before we get to Eric and everybody else, you mentioned the Hassan Reddick thing. What was it about? You just think a change of scenery will help him
out? Yeah, I think it's a change of scenery. I think that the Cardinals have done a really poor job at using a guy like him and a guy like Isaiah Simmons. Obviously, they're not going to trade Isaiah Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done really poorly on kind of where they want to put them in their defensive packages and schemes and things like that. Now, this trade is not something I came up with. It was on ESPN. I saw it. It was something that I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Was that they, and I forget exactly the draft picks. I'll go back and find it. But the Eagles would give up Ertz and I believe a 6th for
Reddick
and a 3rd.
It's like a 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
It would be interesting.
Not now, of course, because I don't think
injured.
You can trade an injured player.
Right, right. No doubt. 610-632-0975. Eric in the Northeast is back with us. So we'll check in with Eric. What's up, E?
What's going on, Devon? How are you, man?
Doing good, man. Thank you.
Sorry, we've been on hold for a minute. But, listen, the focus here that should be for every Eagles fan, I think, is are we going to win this division? After watching that Cowboys game the other night, did they not look just like us with that O-line blowing up? Like, just letting Andy Dalton get sacked, like, 5 times. it's just, I think what the only things Eagles can do is just focus on winning this division, not worrying about any other game, and maybe making one or two adds. Obviously, the big name, Julio Jones, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants Julio Jones. But why not go for it? Make it a little more exciting, you know, for fans to cheer on these Eagles and just, hey, let's go for division. Let's get Julio Jones, big name, bigger than Golden Tate than last year, who did, you know, one touchdown for us in the playoffs. Julio Jones, go out, you know, on top. Let's win this division. We're getting our defense. It is what it is. They're getting back, you know, from injury. Our O-line, no matter, even if we made a move for a running back, our O-line's not making anybody, any running back look good, especially Hassan Reddick. Our O-line is just trash. And that's it. What we got to do is just add more offensive weapons for Carson Wentz, who puts the team on his back.
So you don't subscribe to the fact, the idea of them having the DeSean Jackson coming back, Jalen Reagor returning, Dallas Goedert coming back, possibly Alshon Jeffrey, and the development now of Travis Fulgham as your acquisitions?
DeSean Jackson, since we saw him, how many games has he played?
Fair.
Alshon Jeffrey, since the Super Bowl, how many games has he played?
Fair.
Absolutely sure. I don't think he's going to play at all. Zach Ertz, can't break coverage.
I didn't say whatsoever. Zach Ertz. I said Dallas Goedert.
Dallas Goedert, aces. Aces all day. Would love to have him come back, but it's a tight end game. It's, you know, you can only get so far with a tight end. You know, why, our wide out, what are you going to wait for Jalen Reagor to come back from hand surgery? What has he proven so far? We know what Julio Jones is capable of. Why not sign that big name, big flash, sell a couple jerseys, make your fans root for the playoffs for a divisional win? Be happy all about, you know, overall, just be happy about it. I just think if we are just focused on this division, making a little more power moves in the offense for Carson Wentz not to carry it by himself, it is what it is for our run game. I still trust Miles Sanders. I really do. You know, the jury's not out on him yet, I think. I know injury is starting to be a problem, but it's not like Saquon Barkley injury where he's an absolute bust.
I think Saquon Barkley is just that good. It's just, of course, this unfortunate injury this season. And he had one last year as well. But there's nothing wrong, Eric, with having another running back. Nothing. Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I understand. But Boston Scott's not turning out to be our Darren Sproles that we thought he would be. Corey Clement, where's he been besides special teams? Like, I would love to see our Super Bowl Corey Clement
going out
for a 25-yard catch and run.
I would, too. He's going to have an opportunity. He really is, man. Thanks for the call. Great stuff. He's going to have an opportunity this Thursday night against New York. The perfect time. He likes the bright lights, right? Although we didn't see much against San Francisco, Corey Clement likes the bright lights. We saw what he did in the Super Bowl season and the Super Bowl. This would be the perfect opportunity for Corey Clement to step up in this spot. Because if I was going to trust anyone between the two, yes, I saw what Boston Scott did a season ago. But if we're talking about running the football, I would trust Corey Clement a little bit more than Boston Scott in terms of being able to move the pile, get the positive yardage, and just attack on, add on, pick up a couple. And yeah, they both can catch. Boston Scott better out of the backfield than Corey Clement, but we've seen Corey Clement do it as well. So the two of them together against that Giants defense, which is not bad, but also not good. They have some linebackers, but you should be better than their linebackers when you get there out there in space.
Well, I agree with you, Devon, on the on which one I would prefer to use in the running game specifically.
Clement.
Yeah, it would be Clement. But I'm going to ask you this. Do you know it was 2.5 years ago? Over 2.5 years ago?
The Super Bowl.
Yeah, the last time that he was productive.
The Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not to his fault. I mean, you get injured and then you kind of get buried on the depth chart. It is what it is. It's not your fault by any means. But those are my two options. I mean, it's not anything that I'm super excited about by any means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And when you talk about simplified playbook like Doug Peterson did yesterday, and that happens all the time when you play on Thursday night, what does simplified mean to you? Because to me, it means a heavier dosage of running the football and quick stuff.
Short passes, 3-step drops, get the ball out. You're already in shotgun, so just get the ball out. You're working with the depleted offensive line. Get the ball out. 610-632-0975, just to reset things a little bit, because everyone dropped off out of nowhere, everyone dropped off for whatever reason, but it's okay. We've been having a good show, so if you have been trying, the lines have been busy, you want to get your points in, you don't want to have a long wait, 610-632-0975. Again, 610-632-0975. Do you want the birds? November 3rd is the trade deadline. Tim McManus had a fantastic story up on ESPN.com. It is still up there, so please go and check it out. Go read it and see what Tim has to say, where he outlines things for the birds trying to make the playoffs, the weird situation that they're in at 1-4-1, and still very much in it because they are only a half a game out after 6 weeks. The Dallas Cowboys now 2-4 on the season. They are without their franchise quarterback. The New York Giants and the Washington football team are both sitting at 1-5. If maybe you believe the Giants are going to be the ones that ultimately win this division, but the birds are in it. However, you need more help with the entire team. The trade deadline is upcoming in a few weeks. I do not want them to make a trade. Keep your 7 draft picks and remain as is. You will get people back. Okay? You will get people back. Eric just said it from the Northeast. All right, how many games has Deshaun and Alshon played and Zachers? Can you trust? All right, Eric is right with that. That is an argument that I cannot go against. I cannot. However, okay? What if they do stay healthy for the remainder of the season? They are your pickups. They are your pickups. So don't trade anything. Stand pat. Get these reinforcements back. Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz with Dallas Goedert. Avante Maddox, Malik Jackson returns. Vinny Curry is healthier in a couple of weeks. Stand pat, Jason Peters. Lane Johnson, stand pat. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones, EJ in West Philly. EJ did hang on. What's up, EJ?
I'm good, man. How you looking?
What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
I smoke motion crossing the Strawberry Mansion Bridge, separating north to West Philly, and it's an interesting story. I've been trying my whole life, bro, to get out of West Philly by car without traveling across the river. And there's no way to do it. It's no way to get from West Philly to North Philly without going over a body of water.
Yeah.
Whether you go over the Girard Avenue Bridge, the Strawberry Mansion Bridge, even if you take the expressway, you still got to cross the water down
Very
by the Hartley there.
Very true.
There's no way to do it. I've tried to drive the contact sport. Excuse me, I caught myself.
Yes, you
my
did.
My light flashed before my eyes.
You were pro. Oh, glad you're
yes,
safe.
Yes, I am. Yes,
you're,
I am.
Glad you're safe.
Yes, me too. What I wanted to say, good brother, was I had a mea culpa. I had called Tuzzo and told him that I thought Wentz was burnt in this town, similar to how I thought Fultz was burnt in this town, to the point where, like, you know, they got the statue of the backup quarterback outside. They basically draft his replacement. He's going from the franchise quarterback to not even getting put on the billboard for the game on Sunday when they played the Frisco.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even put him on as the, you know what I mean, the person advertising the game. So it's like, wow, look how bad he's fallen. But my next point is, it's on Howie and them and Doug. You can't put a guy out there, a guy who had a catastrophic knee injury, which he's never fully recovered from. Let's keep it real. The back injury that he never fully recovered from, and you surround him with Drek, and you force him in a position that he's not prepared to deal with because he don't have the same athletic ability, and he doesn't have the same weapons. But yet, instead of calling a game that speaks to that, Doug puts him out there in the same game plan every game, and we wonder why he don't succeed. Now, quarterbacks get too much of the blame and too much of the credit, but I'm no longer going to put this all on Wentz. After I've seen the last two games, his heart and determination and desire, man, makes up for any flaws at quarterback. I think if we get our guys back and put him in a better position to win, I think we'll win this crappy division. I don't see why we can't. Now, as far as the trade thing, I don't see why you would trade anybody. There's nobody that we can get that's going to make us a favorite to win a first-round playoff game if we win the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Is there anybody
no.
that we could trade for? And we don't really need the help on offense so much as what we've needed for the past 3 or 4 years, a shutdown cornerback, which we have in Slay, but the shutdown cornerback is made a whole lot more effective when you get consistent pass rush from your overpaid defensive line. So everybody wants to blame Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz's whole defense is based on being able to get pressure with the front four. If you don't get pressure with the front four, your cornerbacks are going to be exposed. So that's all I wanted to say, good brother. I appreciate you. I respect you. And, you know, go Eagles, man.
I appreciate it, EJ, as always, man. Be safe out there. And good luck with trying to cross without going over the water. Great call from EJ. All right, Tone, John, Joe, 610-632-0975. We'll get to you guys when we get back. Again, 25 minutes commercial free, so not a long wait if you want to check in. And we'll also, on the other side, I've been telling you, I have to share with you some good news with the Sixers organization. We'll give you that on the other side as well. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, talking birds tonight. Birds, Giants on Thursday. Quick turnaround. We're talking about everything with the birds right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, the Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975 as we are hanging out with you until 10 o'clock on this Tuesday night. Quick turnaround, the Birds and Giants Thursday night at Lincoln Financial Field. Again, the number 610-632-0975. So quickly, before we get back to the football, I want to tell you about this one, the thing that I was telling you that was pretty good for the local basketball team. According to John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia, his tweet on Twitter, at JClarkNBCS, source says Jameer Nelson is coming home to work for the Sixers. Elton Brand is hiring the former St. Joe's star. Long NBA career, of course, for John Clark. From Chester, local guy. He is now 38 years of age. He was an all-star with the Orlando Magic when they got to the NBA Finals. He's 14 years in his career, all of which where he was really at his best, of course, with the Orlando Magic. Then he spent some time with the Mavericks, Celtics, Nuggets off the top of my head, the Pistons, and the Pelicans as he wound up his career. Now jumping in on the management side, Elton Brand bringing in Jameer Nelson as the scout and assistant general manager for the Delaware Bluecoats. All right, the Delaware Bluecoats. So he's going to be a scout and assistant GM for the Bluecoats. Okay, so that is great news for Jameer Nelson. I saw Jameer. I was invited to an event where they were talking about the USA 3-on-3 tournament with Robbie Hummel, Jameer, and Cloud. So all three of them were there, and they were talking about that. So, you know, it was a nice thing at Mitchell and Ness. We were there. And I did not get a chance to talk to Jameer. There was so much going on around there, so much, but happened to be there with him that night. And that was right when the pandemic was already starting. The games had been canceled for the NBA, and then everything shut down thereafter. But this is good news for them. So I love to hear that for Jameer. And that is pretty cool. Natasha Cloud, I didn't mean to disrespect her like that. You know, Natasha, she sat out the season this year because of everything with the social justice issues that were going on in the country. She wanted to focus on that. And so they were all there that night, and it was good to see them. And then the world shut down. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool for Jameer to get this new position and start his new career with the Delaware Bluecoats. All right. He'll be second to Matt Lilly All right. Matt Lilly is the general manager. We've had all the Blue Coats people on, from Elton Brand when he was the general manager to, of course, to Matt Lilly, who also the general manager right now. And, you know, I'm always involved with the Blue Coast. So it'd be pretty cool to see what's going on with Jameer and see how this whole thing works out. Once my knee gets better and the world gets back to normal, then we can, you know, get back out there for those open tryouts. And I had to talk to Jameer and make sure that, you know, I have my roster spot, you know, it'd be all good. So there's that. All right. I'll be
make
back.
You a two-way player.
That's right. Have to let my man Connor Johnson, who's the head coach, know. All right, so good for Jameer, though. Good for the team, the organization, making another great staff move by bringing Jameer in with the Blue Coats to start things off with his career. So it was fantastic. Local guy, staying home, able to work. Love it. 610-632-0975. Tony in South Philly joins us here on the Fanatic. Tone, how you doing?
All right, with
you. What's going on, man? What you think about the Birds, man? All right, make the playoffs, but do you want them to acquire anybody by giving up any draft picks?
No, I don't want them to acquire anybody. I want them to heal up, get their guys back, and use them to get to the playoffs. They can find guys on the waiver wire on the street. They don't got to go out there and spend their draft picks. And then we'd be worse off than we are this year.
Yeah, that's my thinking, man. Stay away. Stay away. Yeah. Stay away from the phones. If you want to bring anybody in, hit those free agents that are still out there.
Yeah.
Try to find it. Again, as I said a little bit earlier, Tone, find a diamond in the rough and go from there.
Now, I will trade for Julio Jones.
That's the other one again, huh?
Yeah. Now, that one did intrigue me.
No, and I understand that, man. Look, that's a hard one. That's a hard one right now for me because I'm a big Julio Jones fan. He's actually on my fantasy team right now, but that's a big name. And if he is available, that's going to be hard to turn down.
Yeah. That's going to be hard to turn down, especially the way our wide receivers been playing.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. So what did you think about the offensive line? You wanted to make a point on them?
Oh, yeah. I was funny. You know, I've been looking at football for years, and I was just thinking about when Buddy Ryan was here, and he had a hard time finding offensive players. And remember, we traded for Ron Folk, and then he had a bad knee, so he was bad too. You know, and then I see this line playing now. You know, it's like putting square pegs in round holes. I don't know who they got them from, where they came from, who are they? You know, they just horrible, man. They just horrible.
Well, of course, things worked out with Joy Mailata, Tone. That worked out well. Nate Herbig has been playing pretty good also. The rookie... Jack Driscoll, who just hurt himself. Well, not hurt himself, but just got hurt. He is going to potentially be out. He's had some up and down ones, but more good than bad. But the Matt Pryor, Jamon Brown, those are issues for this offensive line in terms of their depth that they're going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah, and they inside. They play in the inside, you know, the right guard. So, you know, you just giving the defense a pathway to Carson Wentz.
Yes. Yep, absolutely, man. Well, listen, Tone, thanks for the call, man. Great stuff, of course, and we'll keep an eye on Julio Jones by November 3rd. No doubt, man.
All right.
Appreciate it. You got it. 610-632-0975. Tyler, before we get to John, Joe, Ramin, and Zach here, two open phone lines, 610-632-0975. We had two Twitter polls up on 97.5. on Twitter, so we wanted to get those updates, and of course, you come up with these great questions. We also had the second question about the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, and who is in better shape. So, Tyler, what are we looking like right now at 8:38 on this Tuesday night?
Yeah, so the first poll, and by the way, both these polls, you have a little bit over an hour to get in. We try to close them out at about 9:45 each night. The first question is, Do you want the Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC East or get a top 10 draft pick? So we have 757 votes on this one so far. Win the NFC East, 56%. Get a top 10 draft pick, 44%.
That's high.
That's actually not. It's closer than I thought it would be.
When you talk about making the playoffs, and Eagle fans always want to make the playoffs, it's never about losing on purpose, tanking for a draft pick. They clearly see these holes that the Birds currently have. And that new norm that Doug Peterson was telling us about, we don't like this.
So I'm only 26, so I understand that I didn't live through some of the really bad years of the 70s and the late 90s. I was pretty young, you know, between the two eras of Eagles football. But I will say this, in my time, as someone who was able to really take in and understand what was happening, you know, for the Eagles and for future and all that kind of stuff, this is probably only the third time in my 26 years, let's say even cautiously my 16 years of watching Eagles football heavily, that I can say that people are openly calling for a better draft pick. The only other two times that I can remember it happening are Chip Kelly's final season when they went 4-12, and the year that Donovan McNabb got hurt after they went to the Super Bowl and Mike McMahon was the quarterback, and it was so bad that it was just like, all right, lose out, get a good draft pick. And those are the only other times I can remember that happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, Eagle fans do not like to lose under any circumstances. No. What's the second poll, and then we'll get to the phone.
Second poll, it's a fill-in-the-blank. It's the blank have a better future team outlook. Is it the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys? We just broke 600 votes on that one. 59, almost 60% of the people say the Eagles have a better outlook. 40.5% say the Cowboys have a better outlook.
All right, it's about time for us to vote on that too. But yeah, we'll get to the phones and then we'll get our votes in also, because you can look at both sides and say the Eagles have the better outlook, and you can also say the Dallas Cowboys have the better future outlook as well. 610-632-0975, John in South Philly. Johnny, what's happening?
Long time no talk to. What's going on, fella?
Oh, man, how you been? All right?
Pretty good. I want to remind you that I talked to you a little while back, and I was reminding you that the Sixers had tried three different teams, and no matter what they do until the two young guys get it right, nothing else matters.
Yeah, and you know, John, I agree with you, because I've said this, no matter who they've brought in here, the ultimate success is going to come from the growth of those two and them improving in their overall games. And while we've seen a semblance of that from Ben Simmons being recognized as an all-NBA player, and of course the all-defensive team selection as well, first team, they still have some ways to go, and the acquisition now of both Doc Rivers and Dave Yeager as the assistant coach, that's going to help out tremendously if they buy into what is being preached by Doc Rivers and that coaching staff. So we'll see.
I like both moves, by the way. I definitely agree with you, because you talked about Yeager for a while. But before I get to my other three quick points, I think Doc Rivers and Yeager signals to the two young guys that the next move is one of them going if they don't buy in, because they didn't bring Rivers in here to get rid of him and still keep both of them.
Nah, he's got 5 years, and if things don't work out, you cannot fire the coach again. You already did that one.
So I like the Jameer Nelson move, so that was great bringing him home.
That's pretty cool, right?
You're probably going to laugh at this next move. If we could somehow, you know, turn back the clock a little bit on a Brett Brown move, you know, our young man that went out to Phoenix, and pull a guy-like move and bring him back, that would be good too. But that's wishful thinking right now.
Or you talking about Mikhail?
Yes, bring him back. pull a guy-like move.
Well, I'll stay out of that one.
Yeah. And
I proudly wear my Phoenix Suns gear.
Hey, listen, I'm with you, bro. Trust me when I tell you. The last thing I wanted to say is I agree with you. Not spending any draft pick capital, not even picking up somebody's contract unless they're an outright free agent, and staying with what we got. Let's heal. Let that do what it's going to do. And doing the draft coming up, what we just did this year, where we went heavy on wide receiver, we now have to go heavy on offensive linemen. And I think in those first four picks, I would like to see them go O-line in the first and second round, linebacker because they got to address it in the third, and then go O-line again on the fourth because whether you keep Jason stays or not, you're going to need a center, so go get him now. Whether or not Dillard works out, you still need another tackle, and you obviously need a left guard. This is assuming that Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson can buy you anywhere from two to as many as four or five more years on the right side. I think you have to address center to the left tackle with at least three picks in the first four picks of the upcoming draft. So I'm with you, and they also should let Jeff Stout, when the offensive line coach, actually do the picking because he knows more about that than anybody else. And if Carson Wentz has got any chance to be what we think he can be here, which I'm still a believer, then it's time that you hit on those offensive linemen. And no one knows how to groom those guys better than him. Scouts have been on a horrible job. So let Jeff Stoutland pick the guy.
You know what's wild about that? Remember when Andy Reid would do that every time, every year, and we would be like, why are you doing that? You need these skilled people. And he was right, and we knew that after the fact. But now it's to the point where these fans, the Eagle fans, John, yourself included, myself, Tyler Zuli, we all understand that they do need offensive linemen help. These guys are aging, and we don't know what's going on with the young player in Dillard. Jordan Mailata might be good. So far, so good, but he might be that guy going forward. That said,
Now's the time to go get one.
Exactly. You have to go out there and get something.
Have a great night, my man. Glad to hear your voice again, and I'll be calling you again soon.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one. You as well. 610-632-0975. And by the way, John, as you mentioned, the Jameer Nelson thing, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday night, 610-632-0975. I do have that confirmed that from a reliable source that Jameer Nelson is, in fact, now part of the Sixers/Bluecoats organization. So that is fantastic to hear. Once again, he will join the front office as a 76ers scout and assistant general manager for the Delaware Bluecoats. 610-632-0975. Joe in the Northeast. Joe.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Joe, I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm on the road. Perfect timing. I just pulled over. Because I don't like to drive and talk on the telephone.
And I appreciate that, Joe. Stay safe. That's most
anyhow,
important.
Anyhow, listening to your opening tonight about the Eagles and their seven picks or whatever. Now, hey, don't get me wrong. I'm not an Eagles fan. Dude, I was born and raised in Louisiana. So I'm a Saints fan.
Saints fan.
And if the Eagles smart, they'll play stuff full. 5-6 years down the road, there's a little puppy coming out of Isidore Newman High School in New Orleans named Arch Manning. That's going to be the GOAT of the future.
What's the buzz like in Louisiana about this? Because we're hearing it up there, so you know it is overflow in Louisiana.
It's wild about that kid. But who's his grandpa?
Yeah, Arch.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's the tough part, though. Here's the tough part where we have to show some respect, because when they were talking about him last week, because I think they were on ESPN or whatever it was, they said, so a lot of people were tweeting, NFL insiders, college insiders, all, and they were saying, Eli and Peyton's nephew is pretty good. Now, come on. Let's give Cooper some credit here. We know who he is. So say his son instead of saying, of course, Eli and Archie's nephew. But that's some good coaching right there from those four.
But now look how it's playing out. Both of them boys got a brother named Cooper. Cooper couldn't go on because he had a medical problem.
Yes.
His baby coming along. So, I mean, that's the guy.
Well, you know, a lot of people are going to be losing on purpose, Joe, to try to get the services of that kid. Joe, be safe. Thanks for listening,
man. No. Hang on.
What's up?
The Eagles got to stay packed with the picks they got because they got to use all seven picks in the SEC. they will hit four out of seven clicks. So they will win. I'll listen to your response.
You okay? Got it, Joe. Four out of seven is a pretty good number, man. Percentage. Thanks for the call. We have been talking about focusing on those big schools, that of course that big conference, and staying away from the Pac-12 out west, and getting some of the talent from the Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, you know, LSU. Go out there and get those guys. Especially Joe Torti loves it. Joe Torti needs to be a general manager. He does.
Hire him.
Yeah, I would hire him too. We can get him his assistant job, just like Jameer just got one. Let's go to Ramin in West Philly. What's up, Mean?
What's up?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Javon?
How you feeling?
I'm good, man. Listen, I'm doing a total opposite, right? I'm looking at us our next three games, right? Which is winnable games, right? The Giants, Dallas Giants, right?
It's a big stretch right here.
Right. Now, listen, if we lose one of these, if we lose Thursday night, we might as well pack it up. I'm thinking about, like, listen, some of our older veterans.
You're not gonna wait for the Dallas in the second game against New York?
No, because after the second game, after Dallas then the Giants, that stretch right there where we got to play New Orleans,
Green Bay, yep. Yeah. Seattle.
That's brutal. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at it, and they well-coached teams, and they teams that know how to exploit our weaknesses. That's going to exploit our weaknesses. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of when you look at our young guys, right? Why not let the young guys play and blossom? Like, you know, you got guys like, no matter how much I love Deshaun, I like Alshon, I will let them guys go, man. Let them boys get vibe new experience. So next year going forward, we don't got to concentrate on really so much the veterans. I will let when the young guy, what's the guy in the first round draft,
Jalen Reagor,
when he come back, let him play. I mean, like you said, Maya Latte, let him play. Like, the guys that you know that who can be, get them opportunities, like, let Jason Peters go sit on the bench. Then defensively, I understand, like, I'm looking for more picks. We got seven picks, right, in the draft. I'm looking for at least, like, 10 wins, though. You might get two-thirds. We might get, like, two-thirds wins, though. You're right. We need offensive linemen, right? We need offensive linemen for the future, but we also need – we don't have no playmakers on our defense. We haven't had a true playmaker on our defense since really that playmaker. I would say, what's his name? Who left for New Orleans? He was somewhat a playmaker, but he wasn't that true.
You talking about Malcolm Jenkins?
Malcolm Jenkins since Dawkins and Trotter and them. We need a playmaker. We need like one or two playmakers on our defense. For so many games, we didn't have that emotional playmaker. Whereas though you got Wentz who can make plays on the offense, but on our defense, Fletcher Cox, yeah, but he's not per se. He never was like no Aaron Donald or we like a Khalil Mack, a guy who can change the whole defense around. Understand what I'm saying? he never was that type of fella to me anyway. So I would say, listen, some of them guys like Brandon Graham, even though, listen, let them go see what we can get. I'm saying try to get some draft picks. If we can get a third or fourth, whatever. See, and let some of them other guys, let Josh Sweat get start getting the playing time. The other guy, what's his name? Our other DN,
Derek Barnett,
young guy. Derek Barnett. Let them guys get some time, man. See what they can do. I'm saying, look, moving.
That's
forward,
you know. That's why you mean. Listen, man. Thanks for the call. Of course, always appreciate it. Be safe out there. You know I am. Stand pat. And I want to hear, because as Zach is saying, Howie is bad. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Reed as well. We have a few open phone lines for the first time in a bit since we said so at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. So if you want to jump in, and there's not a long wait. We just have this break. We come right back, 25 minutes commercial free, and we'll run the phone calls, get your thoughts on the Birds, what you want them to do in terms of keeping things intact. If they can win this division as is, do you do it? Or would you like to go out there and get some help from elsewhere with the team? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, 9 o'clock hour upcoming right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Devon Givens with you until 10. Talking about the Birds, a different outlook as we get ready for the New York Giants at Lincoln Financial Field on Thursday night. I can't wait to text one of my buddies as the Giants and the Birds play on Thursday night. Can't wait to text him as the game is getting near and see what he has. You know, it's not a lot of trash talking when you're 1-4 and 1-5. Not a lot of trash talking to go there, but you know how it goes, division game. You just have those conversations, a little fun as we get ready for it. But that being said, Howie Roseman, you know he likes to make trades. Trade deadline November 3rd. There are already reports out there that he's sniffing around. You go to ESPN.com like I did, read my friend Tim McManus's story about this team and the direction that they should go moving forward, because it's just too enticing for Howie. It's too enticing. He wants it. You know he wants it. You know he wants to do something. But I don't think he should do it. Save the draft picks, Howie. Save the draft picks. Go out there and get Kyle Pitts in the first round as another tight end. Or in the fifth round, get Chase Allen, Iowa State, another tight end. Or get a defensive end, Patrick Jones, in the second round. Or maybe another safety from Florida, Donovan Steiner. Get all of these guys. No offensive line help. I was looking at a mock draft during the break, right? And Tyler almost lost his mind looking at this particular draft, a mock draft with the where they had the Birds selecting these players. Right now they had them picking 12th. And they selected Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida. And Tyler almost threw his headphones through the double glass that we have in here.
You've seen Talladega Nights, right?
I have.
You know the first thing that came to my mind when you saw that, what you said that to me was don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. That's terrible, man. Like, listen.
People.
You know what? I'm not going to do it.
Tyler's about to lose his mind.
Listen.
It's just a mock draft.
I know it's just a mock draft. I know it's one person's opinion. But here's the thing. Your opinion is wrong. Because not only should they not select a tight end in the first round, if they're going to, Kyle Pitts isn't even the best tight end in the country right now. The best tight end in the country plays for the first time this weekend.
Yeah.
And you know me, man. I'm ultra objective when it comes to Penn State football. Probably to the point where I'm miserable about them most of the time.
All right, well, let me give you a real one. Before we go back to the phone, let me give you a real one. Zach's waiting for us. We get to Zach. Let me give you a real one. NFL.com, this was published yesterday at 11:43 p.m. So, you know, just a little under 24 hours ago. So, Zach, listen to this, Tyler, Nick, Drew, Reed. Right now, the Birds are at pick number 10. So, it's updated. Biggest needs, to your point, wide receiver, offensive guard, and linebacker. That's where it is right now for this particular article here on NFL.com.
Do they have a pick?
Dan Parr. No, so no selection.
Okay.
Just the outlook of what they need, biggest needs for the team. And he said no player has been sacked more than Carson Wentz. 25 injuries played a big role in the offensive line demise in 2020. Philadelphia is going to have to do some retooling up front this offseason with soon-to-be 39-year-old Jason Peters in a contract year and 1 year left on soon-to-be 33-year-old Jason Kelce's deal. So that's the outlook there.
I have a question for you about if they pick a 10, right? Let's say they don't win the division. I know this is a long way away.
Yes.
If they're picking at 10 and the number one corner hasn't been taken yet, do you take them?
I do, yes. You know me. I wanted a corner in the first round last year if it was available. You know, I wanted Tristan Fulton with J.K. Dobbins in that class and that grouping as things played out last season.
Yeah, Fulton went to Tennessee, correct?
Yes, he did. All right, I'm going to give you this one. All right, so now it's updated again. and the Birds are at pick 14, and they go DB. This is CBS Sports.
Paulson Adebo?
Tyson Campbell.
Okay.
6'2", 185. Not Eric Rowe, Russell Douglas type size, right? Get somebody.
Got to be a little bit faster, I hope.
Well, I'm just saying, longer.
First round pick.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Longer, has some size to him. Not a small corner like we're seeing right now with Avante Maddox. Something along the lines of that. So, you know, just something to throw out there. But we want them to make the playoffs regardless. Let's go to Zach and Venter. Zach, thanks for hanging on, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. No problem. Happy to call in. I've been listening. Thanks for taking my call. I kind of agree and disagree at the same time. I agree that a regular team should keep their draft picks and a regular front office should keep their draft picks and find positions of need that we have, like a running back and linebacker, that most teams find anywhere in the draft. We have Howie Roseman, who drafted us Donnell Pumphrey, Sharif Miller, Davion Taylor, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in rounds that mattered. In rounds that mattered. And you're right, we should. But, you know, both our fifth-round picks and a future pick can get us Kenny Galladay from a team that sucks.
That would be something.
Like, I'm down for that. I'm not down to, like, throw a first or second or third. We don't have a fourth away. I'm not saying waste them. But Howie Roseman sucks at drafting, man. And we do need our big picks. We need our big picks for cornerbacks.
Right.
And offensive linemen.
True.
And a linebacker. How great would it be to have, I've called in Anthony before. How great would it be to have Patrick Queen on our team? Like,
you needed to be calling us then, Zach. During draft time when we were talking about Queen and Murray at the linebacker position. When the Eagles pick was upcoming and they were still on the board.
When you said about Hassan, I agree. And what you said about Hassan Reddick, I'd throw a late round draft pick at him. Like, I'm down to do it. I'm just not down to do it in a stupid way, like you're saying. But a regular team, you're right. Like, if I'm the Steelers or another team, or the Ravens that know how to draft, yeah, I'm keeping all seven of my draft picks.
Yes.
Because who really cares? I can nail it in every round. Look at two of our biggest needs, wide receiver and linebacker. We had three linebackers that could start on any team in the NFL when we won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Suddenly, don't need any of them. Wide receivers. Look at our best wide receivers last 2 years. They're guys that weren't drafted. They're guys that didn't fit in anywhere else. And Howie Roseman, when those are your best two wide receivers, you're bad at picking them. And I don't know if I want him
to
pick
him. But what are you going to do? He is the general manager. He is making the choices, and you have to draft someone.
Let him trade a couple late-round picks and next year's third for Kenny Galladay.
All right. I mean, listen, and I like Kenny Galladay a lot. I actually heard Joe Torti say that on Sunday morning, that he would do that as well, Zach. Thanks for the call, man. Great stuff.
Have a good night, guys.
You as well. And Joe talked about Kenny Galladay. I like Kenny Galladay. I'm perfectly fine with that. Well, now, what would the compensation be? You have seven picks. If they need wide receiver help, like you mentioned, Ty, you're now looking at Rager and Galladay as your guys going forward with Travis Fulgham, if he keeps this up, being somebody. Right now, he's in your future. But it's just a matter of where he is in your future in terms of, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be somebody who gets consistent snaps? And so far, he's shown us that he is that good.
Well, and you ask, you know, what's it going to cost? And I'm not going to go through my whole spiel again. We did it last night. And we do it all the time. Quite honestly, if the Lions say to you, we want a second round pick for Kenny Galladay, I'm taking that in a second. If the Lions say to you, we want a first round pick for Kenny Galladay, I'm thinking about it.
Thinking about it?
I'm thinking about it.
All right, so where
because
are
like
you
he just said, Howie's
on this
terrible.
Whole conversation?
It's time and place, right? It's right person, right time, right swap of picks. I'm probably somewhere in between you and go all out to save the season or to save this particular season, because I do believe that with the right moves and the return of some of the guys that are getting a little bit more healthy, the Eagles are good enough to win this division. It's that bad. You know, you could win this division very easily if you can win four of your next five division games. Easier said than done, but it's very, very possible for if you can say right now the Eagles are going to be 5-5-1 with games with Cleveland, Arizona, Seattle, and Green Bay left, and New Orleans. And you got to say you got to win two of those.
And beat Dallas.
Well, that's what I mean. As long as you beat
later on.
If you beat Dallas twice, and then you split with either the Giants or
Washington,
or you beat, yeah, you either win that one against Washington, you know, whatever you're going to split with, that gives you five wins. Can you get two more out of that five game stretch to get you to seven? Because at that point, if you've beaten Dallas twice, I don't believe that Dallas gets to more than seven.
Mm. Okay.
So it's time and place. It's the right pick for the right player.
All right.
Kenny Golladay is the right player.
He's a young guy. He's definitely a young guy who can go out there and get it done. 610-632-0975. Back at it on the phones. Reed, North Philly. Reed, how you doing?
This Reed. Divine.
Yo, what's up, Reed?
Hey, man, nothing.
Listen,
I wanted to ask, is Sidney Jones having a good year this year?
He's having an okay year with Jacksonville. Yeah, he's made some plays. He's played well. He's played well.
And Rasul Douglas having an okay year,
yes,
right?
He is.
So that's why I go with, it's the coaching. It's how we picking some of the picks, but it's the coaching, too. Because it's no way that these guys can go somewhere else and have a more productive year than they ever had here. I just don't understand that. Even he's not putting his guys in the best position. He's so, you know, stand-packed on the way he won his defense ran that maybe he don't know how to develop, you know, young players.
Well, then, but you can also go the other way, Reek, and you start to talk about, well, what happened with Donnell Pumphrey? Why was Donnell Pumphrey not?
See, that's offense, and maybe Doug doesn't know how to.
Yeah, but Miles Sanders is good.
But he's special. He's a different. Like special players, you don't have to do too much with them. You can let them go out there and do what they do. And I think that's why our Super Bowl season was so good too, because they both had older players.
Right, you didn't have to do all as much in terms of the coaching with the hiring.
And the younger players that we did have, we had the other coaches that went to Indianapolis and the other places who could develop the offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the blame on all three. I was blaming Carson Wentz the first two and a half games, you know, because he played bad. But if the coach is not putting the players in the right positions, it's not calling the right plays, we got to blame the coaches.
Well, like you said, everyone has a hand in this.
Right.
Everyone. The coaches, the front office, everyone has a hand. And to a certain extent, the players. You mentioned Carson Wentz and his development. Has it regressed since those coaches left that you were talking about? Yes. How much of that was also because of the reporting that we heard multiple times that he is just difficult to coach because he's not listening to what the coaches currently are saying. He's now relying on his old stuff that's getting him in trouble and playing this hero ball.
But we didn't hear any of that. He wouldn't listen to coaches during the Super Bowl season.
No, he was fine.
That's what I'm saying.
They held him accountable. They also said that he and DeFilippo would disagree quite often, but he listened to him.
Right. Right, so maybe then once again with the coaches, maybe he even know that the coaches they're not putting him in the best position. So he would go back and coach with DeFilippo.
So he's like, I'm doing what I want.
right. And I don't want to win this. I want to win this division. Well, I keep hearing your producer say, we can still win this division. That's how crappy it is. Who wants to win this division?
Well, if you want, Reed, get in the playoffs, man.
Get put out in the first round.
No, but still, you get the playoffs.
Man, I don't. That's false hope. I don't want false hope.
If they win that first round and they have you feeling good going into that next weekend,
that's still false hope. If was a fifth, you know the thing. So. Come on. It's not happening, Devon. You got y'all know y'all sports. This is not happening. If we not winning, especially with all these injuries right now. I can see if the players came back and we was at full strength
But Reek, that's my point. That was my point. Those are your trades. Those are your pickups. Those are your acquisitions. Your reinforcements.
I don't want to make no trades. Right.
That's
right.
Your reinforcements from those people coming in. And right. That's where they will, of course, help you get to the postseason and maybe make that noise that we just spoke about.
No, that's true. That's true.
That's all I was saying. Yeah, that's all I was saying.
I feel you. Yeah. If we could get Schwartz to do some different things on his defense or something and get our players back, then maybe it's a go. Other than that, we got to get rid of it. I think Schwartz, this is last year.
I do think this is his last season. I do.
Yeah.
I do. Reed, thanks, man. Good to hear from you.
All right, man.
You got it. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you until 10 o'clock here on the Fanatic. Ramid Suave Capo on Twitter says, ready to move on. They're over the cap. Going into next season, let the young guys show what they can do. Jackson, Jeffrey, Ertz, out. Rager, Fulgham, Goddard, in. Howie shouldn't be buying anything but his flight out of town unless he's just a cap guy. I don't know. Then Kyle, Cypher Kyle says, Howie hasn't showed that he can draft well recently anyway, so until the clock strikes zero, try to get in. Once you get in, anything could happen. That goes against what Reek was just talking about, but once you get in, but again, Reek agreed, should the players come back healthy, the ones that are on the injured list right now, that will help out certainly a great deal once they do, in fact, get to the postseason, if they do get to the postseason.
Well, yeah, he says it's going to help out, and then he says that he doesn't want to win the division, so I'm not sure.
But then he said that if those guys were back, that makes a difference. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Yeah, Devon, what's going on, man?
What's happening, man?
You know, I'm going over the schedule here between the Eagles and Dallas, and I'm looking at it, trying to be optimistic about it, and other than the divisional games, I don't see us beating Cleveland, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, or Arizona.
So you're talking about five division games left. How many would you say that they need to win? They're not going to win all five, so are you saying four or five?
I'm saying if they actually won all five division games.
All right, so they'll be at six wins.
Five other games. They're going to end up 6-9-1.
Right.
And so I'm looking at Dallas' schedule, and it gets a little bit easier. I got Dallas at 7-9. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I'm trying to be really optimistic about it, but I just don't see the Eagles being able to beat a team like Seattle or Green Bay or New Orleans or even Arizona or Cleveland. I just don't think it seems good enough, whether injuries, bad draft picks, whatever it may be. It's just not a good enough team to be able to win this division. And if they do win this division, Devon, they're going to be one and done. I mean, we can't kid ourselves here. I mean, I like to try to be optimistic on all these things, but let's be real. I mean, there's some really good teams in this league this year that are going to blow us away.
So you just want them to not win the division?
No, I want them to play football and try to be a winning team.
Okay.
But I fear that that's not going to happen because of the players they have on the team.
All right, what about making the moves if that's, in fact, what Howie wants to do and make the playoffs and you see the opportunity is there? Do you want Howie to make moves or do you want him staying pat?
No, I want Howie to make moves, absolutely. I mean, they definitely have to make moves.
Are you talking about selling or buying?
I want to buy. Even though I don't think it's going to help us in the long run, I still like to make the playoffs overall because I think as long as you make the playoffs, you still have a chance, Devon.
But what about with the people coming back?
It's hard too.
Jackson, Jeffrey, Goddard, Ertz, Peters, Johnson.
Yeah,
Maddox,
the long list. We've got to get younger, I think. You know, some of them guys are past their prime. You know, I think we got to go with the younger. You know, maybe step back a year and, you know, try to draft a little bit better this year. And then, you know, maybe take, you know, like I said, a year back and move forward from there. But unfortunately, we're not at that Super Bowl level we were 3 years ago.
No, they are not. Drew, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. This division stinks.
Terrible. Might be the worst ever.
What did you see last night? We didn't really get in. We'll get into that on the other side, but you were able to watch a little more than I was because of course, it being blocked while we were doing the show. What did you see last night?
Putrid defensive effort by the Cowboys, and it was really only brought upon because of the fact they had three turnovers, because the first couple of series, the Cowboys' defense looked okay. But, I mean, outside, you know, when you give the Cardinals short field with as many weapons as they have and such an electric quarterback, you're not going to stop them. And it was easy. Yeah, it went from nothing to 28-3 in the blink of an eye.
When I did see it, it was easy. And Ezekiel Elliott helped out a lot. It was very easy. All right, listen, Nick, you've been hanging on for a while. When we get back, we come to you first. I won't say much of anything except for Nick from the Northeast. You're next. What's going on, Nick? Thanks for hanging on. So we'll do that on the other side. Chris, Keegan, Vic, we have two open phone lines if you want to check in. Before we get out of here, our final segment, 25 minutes commercial free. We talk to you. We'll figure this whole thing out for the final time tonight, right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Von Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Shane on Twitter says, Howie can't draft. Go win the damn East. That's on Twitter. 610-632-0975. Final segment for us. We'll give you the final results of the two polls on 97.5 The Fanatic. And we'll take your phone calls. As promised, I said I wouldn't say much. I won't say much. I won't say anything. I'll let Nick and Keegan and Vic talk to you guys. And we'll hear from Tyler as well. Then also get the Twitter poll results. So, as promised, Nick in the Northeast. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to actually, believe it or not, talk about some of the positives from Sunday, if I can.
Yeah, please. Yeah. So,
as much as we critique this injury-plagued roster all the time, we were within 2 points to this Super Bowl-ready team in the Baltimore Ravens and a play away from taking them into overtime. I mean, say all you want, the context of this and that on the scoreboard, we were 2 points away from pulling off what some would say a miracle. That's one. And I know Jim Schwartz might be his first man out in this whole team of Dog Howie and whatnot, and we cut him up every week, but I actually thought he did a half-decent job Sunday. I mean, you can contain Lamar Jackson, the run game for the Ravens. I thought you did all right. The first drive, we had them, of course, we're almost getting used to it, converted 3rd and 10, had third converted again. And then I believe they got down to they may have been in goal. And Lamar Jackson does Lamar Jackson things and buys time if there was a touchdown. And I think the one thing, when the stubbornness comes into play, it's 3rd down, and I don't understand this refusal to blitz. I mean, Nate Berry isn't this all-cover linebacker. What's the shame in just sending them and having 5 guys rush instead of 4 and giving them all a throw?
Listen, I get it, man. There were some things that that we can take out that were positives from the game for sure. More negative, but obviously positive things if they can put up 28 points in the number one defense in the NFL. But looking forward and going ahead, Nick, as we are now 2 days away from the next game against the New York Giants, they have some improving to do to beat that Giants team. That Giants team can score, Nick, so whatever we want to say about the Giants right now at 1-5, which they are, the Eagles are not that much better in terms of the record. So until we see something, that consistency with the positive things that you're talking about, Nick, we are also going to just look at this team and say that they have so much work to do as we not only get ready for the Giants, but then the Dallas Cowboys, the Giants, the bye week, and then the big teams after that.
Yeah, and I agree, but what makes me comfortable with winning this division, and I do believe unless we just play stupid and make dumb mistakes coaching-wise, yes, I think this is our division to win. We have 11 taking every snap, and I mean, compare them to Andy Dalton, whatever they got going on in Washington, and Daniel Jones. I mean, every time we step on the field with one of our division opponents, we have the better quarterback. And 9 times out of 10, you're supposed to win those games.
Supposed to, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And one more thing, and I just, because it's a noise every Sunday, I feel like I see a tweet or a post or comment from somebody that says, well, if you took Mustang away from that, he only had this and had this. Well, you can't take it away because it happened, and he's good for one of these. It seems like every Sunday now, and it turns into 7 points, whether it's himself or the offense.
You talking about and Travis Fogum?
No, Miles Sanders. I'm sorry.
Oh, Miles Sanders. Okay, I'm sorry. You were going in and out. But no, Nick, thanks for the call. And no, even when we said it, thanks, man. Appreciate it. You were going in and out towards the end, so we couldn't really hear you. But Miles Sanders going 74 yards for that, 74 yards for the touchdown in Pittsburgh. Great run. 74 yards here. Gets the ball punched out into the end zone. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside falls on it. You can't take the run away, but you also cannot take away that fumble. You have to secure the football, and you know that they are tops in creating those types of turnovers, knowing that that's what they like to do. You have to protect the football much better. Even if you do not score and you get tackled in the red zone, you did your job. You did your job in picking up the yards. You did your job by protecting that football. 610-632-0975. Keegan in Princeton. Keegan, how's it going? Keegan, hang on, man, because you also have some gremlins there in your phone. Tyler's going to speak with you and see what's going on there. I know Vic is all good. We'll go to Vic in the Islandy. What's up, Vic?
Hey, man.
What's happening?
Doing,
what's
always
going on,
good.
Man?
Listen, man, just trying to maintain. You know, I was...
you always do.
I was hearkening back to your producer reminding me of Jim. Was it Jim Morris when he said playoffs? That sound bite.
Jim Morris, yeah.
When he said, I think, playoffs?
Yeah.
I know, because I know we're talking playoffs, but sincerely speaking, I think this is one of those seasons where you have to evaluate what you have for the future. And the reality for me is you got to look ahead. I know it's early. I know people want to see their team, you know, move far in the playoffs, but the reality is they got issues on the offensive line. I'm looking at some people from one guy I think will be a free agent is, I think, Allen Robinson
from Chicago.
Allen, he'll be a free agent, but I'm looking for offensive tackle. I think there's a Green Bay guy and there's a Baltimore guy that'll be offensive tackles. I think they're going to be free agents, and I think we should sincerely look. Oh, yeah, Ronnie Stanley. I think we should sincerely look at finding out if we can acquire any of those guys, and another guy from Green Bay. So I think we sincerely, we have to shore up the line. That Carson Wentz was pressured almost 50% of the time standing in that pocket. He hopefully will make it through the season if he's not killed. And so the reality for me is they have to shore up the line. The players are what they have. You got to coach up players, right? I'm watching the Cardinals guy, and the announcer mentions this D2 guy that the linebacker from, I forgot his name, but they found a D2 player. They drafted the guy, and he's contributing. The Eagles have to find players that, okay, they might not be marquee players, but they can contribute. And right now, I don't know who those players are, for the exception of the play from the wide receiver. God bless him. But you know, it's just you got to get talent on the field, and you got to start thinking about the draft, and you got to start right now. Your record is what it says.
1-4-1. You're not good.
It's ridiculous. And so,
yes.
And like you said, don't play the Giants short, because they're a decent team. And so far as I'm concerned, the Giants game might be the season. You know, as far as I'm concerned, because that's then if you lose to them, that's two divisions.
Yeah, someone was saying that earlier. If they lose this one, then you might as well just wrap it up.
So I think for me, you got to think future. You got to think what we can get in the draft. But the question I have is, do you have confidence in Howie and his coaches? And I think someone alluded to this earlier. I think our man Schwartz might be gone after this year. I don't know if he can coach up those guys. I don't know what the situation is, but we got to get. And then you got to think, Brent, it's a lot going on, right? So you got Brent, you got Cox, and you got Brent. These guys are long in the tooth now. So what are you going to do with that? So the Eagles got a lot more questions. They got answers. I'm going to be a fan. You're always going to root for your team.
Yes.
But I'm also a realist. I'm like, these guys are just not that good. They're not good enough.
Not good.
So you want to win, but you got to look at it from a realistic perspective. You know, and God bless them. And then I'm really looking forward to seeing what the next tier of players and evaluating who can step up. But that's what I'm looking forward to see if what our kind of future is going to get, you know, be. But anyway.
You got it. Hey, Vic, always good to hear from you, man.
I bet.
You got it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Now, Vic, you know, it's going to be tough if they lose this game. Many people are not going to give up, but when you're staring 1-5-1 in the face, and now New York would be 2-5, again, you're not far behind them at all. That would be ridiculous for us to say such a thing. But when you're staring at it, it just looks so terribly bad on the screen, on the paper, whatever it is. It looks so bad, so bad. When you're looking at 1-5-1, you don't want to see that. No one wants to see that.
It doesn't get any better in real life either. I mean, you could say it doesn't look good on paper, but it doesn't get any better when you make it into, you know, a tangible fruition, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. 610-632-0975. Keegan in Princeton's back with us. The line is all clear. Keegan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thanks so much for getting back with us.
Yeah, no problem. So I hear a lot of guys talk about like trading and stuff like that, and like that's all well and good, but there's plenty of good free agents out there still. I mean, there's Alex Wofford or something like that. He's a guard.
Wofford, yeah,
still in there. I mean, Earl Thomas got kicked off the Ravens for a reason, so I don't even want to touch that, but there's HaHa Clinton Dix still available as well. And I see Nathan Gary chasing after guys in like every week these past couple games when they get that go-ahead touchdown. We need help on the backside of the defense. And so the fact that these guys are just sitting out there, we need guards, we need safeties, because Jalen Mills isn't really getting done. I think he'd be better going back down to corner to get some like Clinton Dix there.
Well, actually, I do not like Jalen Mills at corner. If you're going to use him and you have to use him, I would prefer to have him at the safety position than corner. But I'm definitely okay with an upgrade, especially when Will Parks is also out there.
Yeah. I mean, like, and, you know, watching the Cowboys last night, I mean, like, you thought Carson Wentz was off target earlier in the year. I mean, like, look at Andy Dalton.
That was bad.
Like, they'll probably get better than that, but, like, I mean, that's like saying nothing to get better than that. It was just like way off course all the time to these super talented receivers they have. I think that puts us in a great position to win this whole division. And that's just like, okay, well, we're going to like lose in the first round. I think if we get that guard that's available, you know, because when Brandon Brooks went down, I don't know why we didn't call him right away and said we brought him back in Jason Peters, you know, next year he'll be joining the AARP, but whatever, you know, it's, I just think that if we look at the free agents, and I'm sort of against the free agents in the sense that, like, we keep on bringing in these old players that, like, don't really have a place here, and they're just sort of like, oh, you're talented, do the thing, you know, as opposed to the draft where we don't do anything good anyways and we can develop these players. I think Howie Roseman does need to go, but I think if he needs to go if he doesn't do something about the roster right now, instead of like jettisoning players that we can still use and bringing on some other players that can do something.
Well, all eyes will be on him in the offseason, man. Well, all eyes will be on him for sure when it's time for the draft, for free agency to get underway, man. Keegan, thanks again. Really appreciate it. But certainly when draft time gets closer, definitely those eyes will be on Howie Roseman. Man, just some interesting phone calls here tonight. Let's check out some of the tweets that we've all had as well. First of all, 76-39 says, okay, Jameer, love it. Okay, Jameer Nelson, get them blue coats right. Get Zaire not to be a bust. It's now never for Zaire Smith. And he spelled it two different ways and said, or Zaire Smith twice. But both spellings were wrong. But I get it.
Zaire.
Correct, Brett. Thank you. Then they got a lot of on here on Twitter for Tyler Zuli and his Twitter question. Both is definitely a possibility for this one. Nick said,
no, it's
this
not.
Year is anything is possible. Joseph. And I'm saying, he says, I want to see a top 10 pick and a division. Who says no?
What did Nick say? What did he say, Devon? You know what he said. I won't play because you hate it, but that's you know okay. what he said.
That's okay. That's all right. What else? If people really knew the team and how they draft, the poll should be 100% playoffs. You can't win a division and have a top pick in the draft. I want to see them keep playing hard and win the division. That's from Fieldy on Twitter. The Eagles, this is from Bailey096. The Eagles are old with few playmakers on either side of the ball. They draft poorly and are 60-plus million over the cap already for next year, so the future is not looking good. So you want to focus on the draft. I get it. Here, Morris Living ST7 says, it makes a ton of sense to get a top 10 pick, but we also have a management system that cannot draft, but I would still rather see a high draft pick. See, that's where people are going to get, torn. They're going to be torn a little bit because you want to see them get that selection. If everything happens, of course, that's what it's going to be. But people don't want Howie Roseman making the choice, making that pick. His drafts have been really bad.
This is a talented enough draft class that if you don't win the division and you are picking at 9, 10, 11, 12, you can't miss. You simply cannot miss. And not just this guy is going to be good. You have to hit on a pick that this guy is going to be borderline great, if not definitely great.
Yeah, we're talking multiple year starter, hopefully an all pro bowl type of selection player. That's what you hope for. That's what you hope for. Rempstar 55. I feel like it's time to go with the youth movement and see what the young guys can do. This next season, the team is going to have to look at cutting salary anyways. So why not see where we stand on the younger guys and give us an idea where we can move on from the older guys?
Who, though?
Moving on from the older guys?
No. The other part of it.
Where we stand
youth.
On the younger guys?
Who?
Like we talked about the other day. Who are they?
Exactly.
Jordan Mailata, Andre Dillard, you got to figure that out. Jalen Reagor, John Hightower has to be figured out. He's in the mix. Travis Fulgham has established himself as somebody who has probably already locked himself into a spot next season, along with Greg Ward to a certain extent. And look, you know I like Greg Ward, but what did I say during the draft? I like Greg Ward, but
as a
Justin
number four.
Jefferson is better than Greg Ward. And right now you're seeing with the Vikings, Justin Jefferson, all due respect to Greg Ward, is better than Greg Ward. So, you know I'm already there. Young in the secondary, I'm not tied to any of them, including Avante Maddox. Dallas Goedert, absolutely. He's a lock. Everyone else, you have questions. So with the young guys that Remp is talking about, those would be the only ones.
I think that the only name that you didn't mention that I think that I'm really,
Sanders,
really
course.
Close
Sanders.
To... Yeah, I don't think at this point you have to mention.
Yeah, he and Goddard, we don't have to count.
The only other one that you didn't mention that I'm very close to mentioning in that group, and I'm glad that I was wrong on this one because I was ready to cast this guy out after last season. I think Josh Sweat can play.
He can play.
It took him a while.
Yes.
But I think that he can play.
He can play.
And I'm glad that I was wrong on
it. He looks good. He has looked good. You're right. Let's go to Chuck in Las Vegas. Final phone call. Then we'll get the Twitter poll results. Chuck, what's happening?
What's up, Devon? Tyler, how you doing, guys?
All right. How you doing out there?
Yeah, I'm all right. Like, it's just disappointing that, like, every year, like, we just cling on to this hope that, oh, the division, let's just get through our division. And, like, just this whole narrative every year, it's so tiresome, man. I'm so sick of it.
People trying to hold on to some hope there, Chuck.
No, and I don't blame, I don't blame them. And look, I'm not giving up on this year either because the division is so bad. It's just like, it just wears on you year after year. It's like we're just playing to win a lousy division, but that's where we are.
That's exactly where we are. It's exactly where we are.
And like, look, I think you know me by now. I'm a big Wentz guy. You know, I'm a Wentz man, and yes. I thought he was incredible on Sunday. I thought he just did everything he could.
I thought he was incredible in the second half. That's fair.
That's fair. And, you know, he did everything he could to will that team to victory in spite of his own team doing everything that it could to prevent the team from winning. You know, I felt like everything was against him from, you know, the guard play to the drop passes, Miles Sanders, the defense giving up 30 points. Like, everything is against this guy. And look, he didn't play well in the first few games of the season, but for everyone giving up on him and putting the onus on him, I think that is totally unfair and irresponsible.
I hear that, man. Well, listen, always a great call, man. We'll talk to
Thanks,
you later.
Guys.
You got to be safe out there, Chuck. All right, Tyler, let's do this, man. The final poll results for us here tonight.
All right, so question number one is, do you want the Philadelphia Eagles to... Excuse me, as my voice cracks.
That's
there.
Okay. That's all right.
Do you want the Philadelphia Eagles too?
From the draft, mock drafts from earlier.
Yeah, I'm still pretty heated about that.
Fuming.
Your options are win the NFC East or get a top 10 pick. We had 1,051 votes on this one. 55% of the people say they want the Philadelphia Eagles to still win the division. 46% say they want them to get a top 10 pick. The other question was a fill in the blank. The blank have a better future outlook. Just under 700 votes on this one. The Philadelphia Eagles have 62%. The Dallas Cowboys at 39% and 61. It's 61.5 and 38.5 for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
I think that's a little high for the Eagles.
That is a little high for the Eagles.
Considering I don't think we know their identity yet.
We do not. We know Carson Wentz, and do we really know Carson Wentz at this point? Anyway, I don't know, man. But listen, great stuff, Tyler, as always. Tyler has the day off tomorrow, so we won't be speaking with him tomorrow. We will be back with Tyler on Thursday.
Pre-game show.
Getting ready live from Parks Casino with Brian Westbrook and Derek Guntz. We'll have some stuff for you tomorrow. You know how it goes. It's a Friday for us tomorrow in terms of setting up the game. As we talk about what they need to do, your confidence level, there are a lot of injuries. I'm sure we'll have some more news about the players and their availability tomorrow. All of that stuff will have you all squared away tomorrow evening following the Ron Jaworski show. So that means we start at 7:00. All right. So with that, we get ready to get out of here. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks so much to Tyler Zuli. Again, thanks to all of the callers for checking in with us. And we'll also, normally on a Thursday, we'll see what Barrett Brooks wants to do as far as joining us, whether he wants to do his radio hit tomorrow, his guest spot here tomorrow, or wait until Friday. We'll speak to Barrett and see where he is on that one. But we will be back tomorrow after the Ron Jaworski show at 7:00. So we'll get you ready for the Birds and the Giants. We'll speak about it tomorrow. So have a great night, everybody. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you at 7 tomorrow night, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.